was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB. He's King at Jeromney. This Sunday, there will be absolute scenes as Kings, Tottenham Hotspurs are in it for the Champions League. Are you ready, buddy?
So it's a lock.
It's a lock.
It's a lock. Who's ahead of them? Is it Arsenal? Is it Everton? No, I can't. No.
So you guys are in fourth place with a 2-point lead Arsenal.
Okay, so they jumped up on the table.
They got it. They got a victory. No, do you know who they play this Sunday? Your Spurs. You are facing Norwich.
Norwich.
Norwich is being relegated.
Yes, I did.
Last in the Premier League.
Yes, I did. I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. I did look up the my Hotspurs remaining schedule. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they're making the Champions League top four.
It's a dub. Easy. I mean, you guys beat Arsenal a couple weeks ago, which was humongous.
And absolutely. I mean.
All you've been doing, maintaining. Yeah, you guys are in. You guys are in.
We're in. We're in.
Unless you lose and Arsenal wins.
Nah. Not we'll see.
If Tottenham loses to Norwich, burn down the $1 billion stadium. Burn it down.
So if they make the Champions League, yeah. What does that mean?
That means they're in the Champions League.
But who do they play? Is this the thing where they play like yeah. teams other like champions. Argentina and stuff?
Other really good teams.
Oh, okay.
So I think like
Real Madrid. It's a top four only in the Europe? Premier League, and then it's the winners. It's Europe.
All right,
okay. Only Europe, right?
It's yeah. only Europe, yeah. So it's the winners. It's the winner. It's like the top two teams in like the La Liga and stuff, and the top teams in other leagues and stuff like that. So.
What is CONCACAF then? Is that like our
we're CONCACAF,
that,
right?
Yeah. Is that our equivalent to the Champions League?
It's like North and Central and South America.
Yeah. Do they have like? Is that what the like CONCACAF Cup? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So that's the same. That's the same. That's
Wackest Cup.
Yeah.
Wackest Cup.
Equivalent is not the word I'd use.
like the U.S. beats Canada in a CONCACAF.
yeah.
Not quite the same catch.
Not the same.
Well, like when didn't the Timbers or the Sounders just play like Cruz Azul or something like that? Wasn't that a CONCACAF?
Someone explain that to me. I do not understand.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I do not understand that shit. Like, I swear the Sounders just played like some team. Like, I don't even know. I don't get it. I do not understand.
I find it really hard to be interested in the MLS. I know it's been around a while. We have the Timbers, but I couldn't give a shit.
No, but they like the Sounders. I swear they just played someone twice, like on like a different continent.
I don't know what that was for.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, we just called the Flounders.
I'm not paying attention to the MLS. I'm definitely not paying attention to the Flounders.
Shittle.
Forget that. Exactly. So, I mean, actually, Sunday in the Premier League, if you're like
Prem, it's the Prem League.
If you're you're a random outside fan who sometimes pays attention, it's actually the time to pay attention because Man City's up by one on Liverpool for the Premier League title.
All right. Well. Tell me what is the FA Cup then?
That's like an invitational cup for a year for a free England. Cup. Yeah,
it's all the English teams.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
And it's like it's an invitation cup basically. Sure. It's yeah.
Is that the one where like the Brummy Schooners, the 4A plumber team, they get a play?
No,
in it?
No, for real. Like you can have
right. Is that one?
Yeah. So there are Premier League teams who play against like. Teams that are two divisions lower than them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they fucking lose because sometimes they put out like their third string guys in those games. And sometimes they fucking lose. It does happen.
I mean, you just cannot sleep on the Brummy, the whatever
the Brummy
you said.
The Brummy Schooners.
Yeah.
The Sturgeon.
The Brummy Sooners.
I mean, Nobody walks into fucking Brummy expecting a dub.
You just do not walk into Spirit Airlines Arena and win against Brumfeld.
Ooh. Ooh, they're in it if they got Spirit Airlines on board. Oh, and by the way, just as important, the bottom of the standings. So the bottom three teams in the Premier League get relegated. Right now, Leeds and Burnley are tied for the third team that's getting relegated. And so one team is literally out of the Premier League with what happens on Sunday. It's crazy.
How's Crystal Palace doing?
They're safe. Crystal Palace is safe.
Okay. All right.
They're like the team that is in London, by the way. Out of all the teams, I think Crystal Palace is actually the one that's like city proper of London.
What about are the Brumley Schooners? Are they going to get promoted from whatever Brumley, level they're at?
Is Brumley getting bumped up? I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to find out on Sunday, man. all right. That's probably enough soccer talk, huh?
Well, I thought I saw a little like thing pop up with Lionel Messi in the MLS. Real? Is that real?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was kind of like the worst kept secret ever. But yes, next year he will join Inter Miami and have, like, I think it was like a 23% stake in the ownership. As like a
player owner kind of thing.
Yeah. But that was like the worst. That's been in the works for years.
That's really hard to believe. It's really hard to believe that's happening.
Is he bad now?
I mean,
no. I mean, he's
Zlatan.
You know, yeah, but I mean, he was kind of over the hill, though, wasn't he?
Zlatan destroyed the MLS.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. And he is the cockiest athlete you've ever seen in your life.
Yes, he barely tried. And he.
My God.
He owned El Tráfico.
He barely tried and dominated everybody.
Though I can't remember, was he an LAFC or a LA Comet?
Yeah, it was FC. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's why it was an LAFC, Ben. That's right.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Who's the other LA team?
It was like Landon Donovan and then
the Galaxy.
Zlatan.
Earthquakes.
Yeah, the Galaxy.
The Galaxy. What a dumb name.
Well, wait, that is LAFC, isn't it? Or is it just...
No, LAFC is just LAFC.
Oh, so he was on the Galaxy, I think, then. Because the Galaxy is the one that's been around for longer.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the one I was talking about. Okay. See, I'm not fucking paying attention to the MLS, dog. I'm not doing it.
Well, just wait till Messi gets there. Be big Miami... Is it Inter Miami? Is that what they are?
Yeah, it is Inter Miami.
Miami?
Yeah. Might as well be, sure.
This has to be, Messi is just like, dude, I'm going to go, you know, give 50% effort and live in Miami, and he's got to be getting paid a shit ton on top
absolutely.
Of it. So, it's not a bad play. I mean, what was it? Like, Thierry Henry, he was in New York. It's like all these guys only go to the three major cities.
Was he a Red Bull or a Metrostar?
Ooh. Definitely Red Bull. Yeah. Definitely Red Bull. And Beckham went to LA too.
Yeah. See, so they're only...
What are the New York MLS teams?
You said them, I think.
Is it really Metro Stars and Red Bull FC?
I think so. Something like
Metro
that.
Metro Stars. What a dumb name.
It's like 25% I know that answer. I don't know.
Jock Jewsbury.
Yeah.
Jewsbury. Yeah.
Absolute Saints, downtown Portland.
Absolute Saints.
Absolute Saints.
One Providence of the New Park. York teams that probably exists. Who the knows for drinks. Sure? Leo Messi walking off of a beach onto the pitch. Absolute Saints.
I'm sure we've said it before, but the thing with the MLS that is just so dumb to me is that like a franchise in Utah tries to be Real Salt Lake. Like, just...
Yeah.
I just stop. Inter Miami works because Miami is obviously multicultural international city. But, like, Real Salt Lake? We live in a very white state. Yeah. We have more diversity than Utah. Like,
you're not Real. You're not Utah FC. You are the Utah soccer team.
I'm still mad Kansas City isn't the Wizards anymore. They were like, oh, that's too corny. That's too 1996. I think
they were the Wiz.
They were the Wiz. Yeah.
Oh, that's gold.
Yeah. Go off the Wiz. It's amazing.
Now they're like FC KC. It's just so dumb.
Yeah. It's lame.
And they play in Kansas.
Isn't it Missouri?
No, I mean, the city goes in two states, but they play in Kansas. They play by the Motor Speedway out in Kansas.
Too confusing. Too confusing. Yeah. I'm out.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm out. All right. The Pac-12 got rid of divisions. Do we care?
Hey, very soccery, I feel like.
Do we care? Yeah, right. Divisions, right?
They're technically sticking to divisions. They're just doing
it doesn't have anything to do with the Pac-12 championship.
It just doesn't mean anything though.
And I don't actually care that they're doing the two best records in conference, but I don't know if it's really any more equitable than before, because you play 9 league games, there's 12 teams, so you're missing.
You're not playing somebody. No, you're totally
not playing a couple of teams. So I get it. I'm not against it. Whatever. I don't think the Pac-12 will be alone in doing this, but I don't think it's some like perfect. Oh, two best records in conference. That's great. I mean, okay. But like USC this year, I'm just using USC because they're on.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
They're not playing Oregon, who should be good, and they're not playing Washington, who, yes, we hate them. They suck. They're not going to be good. But in most years, if you don't travel to Eugene and Seattle, total win. Where like Oregon could, as you know, travel to Salt Lake and I don't know, whoever the fuck is good in the South. But it's not perfect, but I'm fine with it.
Well, I felt the whole point to it was supposed to be like they want to get USC in and as many as they can, but the South is, you know, there's not another predominantly good team in the South.
I mean, Utah. So I thought that was the whole point. Eh. Is you want USC in and you want them to either play Utah or Oregon. One or the two. And so now they can actually play Utah. Utah has been running the shit the last couple of years. So
didn't they just lose everyone though?
Utah?
Yeah.
No, they return about the same amount as Oregon. They just return their quarterback and running back. Yeah, I think both teams
returned. Georgia already lost like their entire defense and
I think both teams return like 13, 14 starters. Utah just returns two important ones that Oregon does not.
Yeah, this felt like, yeah, it's if USC gets second, they were trying to find a way to keep USC in everything.
And that's their opportunity. So that's it.
But I can't wait for this to backfire on them, though, and somehow the Ducks and Cougars somehow make it through. And SC's left off, and then the crying would be next level.
Stanford and Washington State. That would be the fucking best.
Stanford and Oregon State would be the best. Stanford and Cal, actually.
Yes.
They play for the Axe
as
two, like, 10-1 teams that no one cares about. One team wins, the other team loses, and in a week they play again at a neutral site, which no one will go to and no one will watch. That would be
Stanford and Cal at Allegiant in Vegas. Oh my God.
It would be so perfect if that was the first iteration of this.
In front of dozens of people at Allegiant.
Literally
Stadium.
Dozens.
I mean, Cal fans
won't even travel from East Bay to Palo Alto, and Stanford fans
don't have them. They don't have them. Yeah.
It'd be great. Wilner
and everyone else would just lose their fucking minds if that happened.
Yes.
It'd be so fucking good.
Wilner in attendance would equal the amount of attendance of Cal fans.
So you guys, what's your thought on USC? You know, they got that Jordan Addison guy today. And
They have three.
I saw ESPN has them at number four in the preseason poll. Fox Sports has them at number three.
They have three of the top 10 transfers of this year. The number one, Caleb Williams. I think Addison was five. And then the other wide receiver, the guy from Oklahoma, what's his name?
Mario Williams.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. He that was like ninth.
That is like hilarious that Jordan Addison is number five. Because I was thinking about him, you know, for the last couple of weeks, because everyone knew he was going to USC. Yeah. And he won the Biletnikoff Award. You know, he's the best wide receiver in the country. He's not, though.
No, we talked about that before.
If you, if you went to Oregon, it'd be great. But, yeah, he would have been like the fourth best receiver at Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's just, it's what a weird, like we said before, they have to posit him as the Biletnikoff Award winner. But no one thought he was the best. Had you ever heard of Jordan Addison before
no.
the transfer
no.
portal?
And I don't see how this helps him. So if his whole point is to go somewhere that's going to help him get to the NFL, how does USC help him?
Yeah.
Numbers.
Fox Sports has them at number three in the nation. So. Really?
Yeah,
that's how it helps them.
Until their defense gives up 800 yards a game and they lose.
Exactly.
Three
so
games.
They'll throw the ball in the air a million times.
It's typical USC, though. I'm saying. Like,
wasn't Drake London picked like number eight this year and they went 4-8?
Yeah. Very good. But I'm saying he's going to be very good, like skill set wise. The numbers he's going to put up at USC aren't going to be better than if he had stayed at Pitt or gone like somewhere else, anywhere else. He's sharing the ball with that other Williams guy. He's sharing it with Travis Dye, you know, the other running back who transferred. He's sharing the ball a lot more at USC. So I don't know. I don't know that it's going to help him necessarily.
Does he run the ball? Is he a running quarterback too? I can't remember.
Did you not watch the Alamo Bowl?
Kind of sort.
I don't remember the Alamo.
No, he's not a runner.
Ski, I want you to know I was gonna let that sit there longer. Just so you know. Well done.
No, but this is fantastic. All the hype that USC is getting right now.
Every year, man.
A USC team that was an absolute sieve on defense is getting a head coach who I don't even know if he knows a defensive play call.
They have Alex Grinch as their defensive coordinator. I mean, if you're USC,
I mean,
you have to hire Alex Grinch as your defensive coordinator, because anytime you can hire a defensive coordinator who wasn't good at Oklahoma and who wasn't good at Ohio State,
yep.
but had that one year
at Washington where they
faced Braxton Burmeister and really confused him. You just have to hire that guy. You just
got
have to.
Virginia Tech legend Braxton Burmeister, unstoppable.
The thing about like the USC hype train that kind of pisses me off is, like, again, they're not going to the playoff like ESPN and Fox are saying. They're just not. Their schedule is soft as hell, but they're not. They're not going to the playoff. I can't even really vociferously talk shit because
nice word.
I don't know what Dan Lanning can do. I have no idea. Like, I know I feel pretty confident. Lincoln Riley, yeah, he's probably going 9-3. He's going to lose to the three best teams he plays. He's going to lose at Notre Dame. He's going to lose at Utah. He's going to lose at ASU, whatever it is. I have no idea. Dan Lanning could be the worst coach in the country. I don't know.
He's going to lose when he's not supposed to lose as well, because USC always does that.
I read something last week. Granted, it was from like Athlon Sports, and I think they do kind of.
Do they sell deodorant?
Anyone who wants to write for Athlon Sports, I think, can write for Athlon Sports. But they said Dan Lanning, hey, he's Charlie Weiss at Kansas. So what they said. It's what?
Wow, that's a.
And take. Athlon puts out a top. They put out a magazine every year.
That's a big take.
I mean, that's yes. Hey, Charlie Weiss.
not even mad. I'm not mad at that take. That's an amazing take.
It's a like weird that, take.
That's a it's weird take. Wow. Oh, where do you pull that one out of? Not even mad. I'm impressed. It's USC, man. It's the same thing every year.
Right. And that's why no matter
who they have. Yeah.
It's why Keaton Slovis won the Heisman after taking over for JT Daniels, who won the Heisman a few years after Matt Barkley came back for the senior year when they were number one and Matt Barkley won the Heisman. I mean, I get it. It's USC. And everyone will say, oh, college football, it's way better when USC is good. USC has been good for 7 years and 40.
Yep. Are you guys worried about Riley at all, or does it feel Kiffin-esque?
No,
sarcastic.
Lincoln Riley is good. He's going to make – if he's at USC for 10 years, he's going to make the playoffs. He might win a title. But like I've said before, he's not walking into the Pac-12 and doing what he did to the Pac-12 that he did to the Big 12. Because everyone in the Big 12, there were like two different – I mean, I've said this before. There were like – the Big 12 had 10 teams, I think. God, college football's dumb.
Yeah, I know.
10 teams and whatever. And like 8 of them were exactly the same. No defense, throw it 50 times, whatever.
Yep.
And they all play in a tumbleweed, flat, warm climate. Again, hey, Lincoln, have fun going to Salt Lake City and Pullman and Seattle and even Eugene and Corvallis. You want to throw it in there in November. Like, have fun. It's a different – it is a different geographical beast. Shit is weird. There's just no weird trips in the Big 12 unless you want to be like, hey, no one lives in Lawrence, Kansas.
I was going to say.
But it's Kansas. It's just, it's not the same.
Playing at Kansas is a shit show. Like the horrible turf, like the.
Right. Yeah. And if you want to look at Lincoln Riley, like he struggled against Iowa State. He struggled. Like he lost to Kansas State. He lost some of those weird games, and the Pac-12 just has weird games and weird teams.
Yeah. It's full of those. Iowa State is very Stanford-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
– and Stanford has better players.
There's a lot, exactly. There's a lot of Iowa States in the Pac-12, dude. There's half of the Pac-12 is Iowa States. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you tell me Lincoln Riley coaches for 10 years at USC and wins a national championship, okay. I mean, I get it. It's just these people that are like, oh, league's over. It's Pete Carroll again. USC is winning it 10 straight years. It's not happening.
How many times have we heard people say that?
I know exactly. God, that's crazy. My thing is, like I went back today when I saw the adjusted preseason rankings where Fox had them 3, ESPN had them 4. And I just went back and Matt Barkley team in 2012, voters had USC number one in the nation in the same conference as Chip Kelly. And granted, he would be a true freshman, but Marcus Mariota. But Oregon at that point, their program was a little bit, you know, a little more elevated than USC.
Well, the real question is,
talent-wise.
Since Carroll left, can you guys really name any defensive guys off those USC teams?
Jackson. The Niners just drafted him.
like a six-round guy?
Talanoa Hufanga.
Hufanga. The Niners got him, too. Yeah.
The guy from Corvallis who committed to USC in a video on top of Spencer's Butte.
He returned
and got destroyed by Oregon.
He returned a punt block for a touchdown against Green Bay last year. Kind of a big play.
Yeah. Like how
many of those Carroll guy defensive players could you name?
A million.
See, that's the thing. I will never be fearful of USC until they get a defensive shit together.
You know what? Even when they had those guys, Oregon still tore them apart with a fucking guy who's 5'10". Jeremiah Masoli did it against them. USC is fucking USC, man. They're gonna lose a dumb game or two every year that they have no business losing. They're gonna lose to a really good, they're gonna lose to Utah. They're fucking going to. You, by the way, I'm way more afraid of Utah. Obviously Oregon should be because they got their shit kicked in by them last year, but USC doesn't scare me. Why would USC scare anybody? Utah is the best team in the conference.
Speaking of Utah,
by the way, name a Utah player.
Cameron Rising.
You got one, and they're still the best team in the conference, right?
Tavarian Thomas, the running back.
It doesn't.
They gotta have a Sewell.
There's like two. There's two sure things. Sure things in the Pac-12 South. What used to be the South.
Brenton Covey.
You can be sure of going. Covey's gone, right? Didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he is gone. He moved He's on. Finally yeah, yeah. gone. Yeah.
Is it? You're gonna know a whole bunch of USC players, and they're not gonna do shit. You're gonna not know anybody on Utah, and they're gonna be better than USC every year. It's the same thing. Or Oregon's gonna. Does Oregon play Utah this year?
Yeah, at home okay. in late November.
Oregon plays Utah this year. It's probably gonna be for the Pac-12 championship. Oh.
Like so Oregon is going to lose their opener, duh, of yes. course. But
well, stop.
They're losing to Georgia. They're losing to Georgia.
Georgia lost their entire defense.
Yes,
I'm
it
just
doesn't
saying.
Matter. They're losing to Georgia.
It might matter. I'm just
it
saying.
Will not matter when they go down to Atlanta and there's 74,000 yeah. Georgia site. Fans. And 3,000 Oregon fans. It will not.
I think we did say, I think the game will be closer, you know, within two scores.
Yeah, I mean, the spread is 16.5.
They'll be within. I'll take the Ducks on 16.5. They ain't winning this game. A close game.
As we get closer, I will convince myself this will be the one Bo Nix game where he does the thing he did. Twice
against Oregon and Texas,
Auburn and Oregon and Texas. Yeah, against Oregon and Alabama, where he won the game he shouldn't win, and then his last 2 years he didn't do it at all. But whatever, we digress. Speaking of college football, hey Paul, what is your type? Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher,
or Deion Sanders.
The Deion Sanders thing. Yeah. I love Deion. They put up a whole graphic about he's gonna come out strong. Tune in while Deion talks shit to Nick Saban, and then Jimbo Fisher stole all of his thunder.
I'll say like Saban quoting like PFT commenter in a Senate press conference is wild. Like just wild, and he said a whole bunch of stuff that I don't know isn't true. Oh, you know what I mean?
The Nick Saban was telling the truth.
100% unfiltered Saban,
and he didn't say Texas A&M was cheating.
No, he just said they bought all the players. And Deion paid a guy $1 million.
Barstool Sports paid the number one recruit. The guy he was talking about was the number one recruit in
the
nation.
Whole country.
Remember when Oregon signed the number one recruit in the nation, Kayvon? And before that, he went to Florida A&M for a visit, and people were like, oh, God. Like, okay, nice photo op.
Right.
Like, you don't go to an HBCU if you're the number one recruit in the nation, unless Barstool Sports is paying you $1.5 million to go.
And you're being coached by one of the best DBs ever. Like I get it. You're going to get paid already as a 17-year-old. You're going to get paid enough money to last you your whole life. $1.5 million. You're set for the rest of your life. If you're not an idiot, you can whatever happens to you, you're set. Your family's set. And you get to be coached by one of the best DBs. So you're giving yourself a chance. You're not going to go against anybody good ever, but you know, you're going to have that going for you when you eventually want to go to the NFL after 2 years.
Yes. Like there, I've seen props out that guy. I can't remember his name. Travis Johnson, something like that.
It's Travis Hunter, I think.
Travis Hunter. Yeah. He plays 1 year at Florida A&M or Jacksonville State.
Yeah. Jackson.
And then transfers. And I was like, wow, that sounds a lot like Quinn Ewers last year.
Get your money.
Went to Ohio State and got money and a big old truck that he posted on social media to be the four-string quarterback, and then went back home to Austin, and now he's the Texas quarterback.
Perfect.
And what's weird to me about people being mad at Nick Saban is, like we said, he's not telling a lie.
No.
He did not say that Jimbo Fisher is cheating. He just sat up in front of his constituents, his boosters, and said, hey, this team runs a really good collect, you know, not in those words. Hey.
Yeah, how's the mic down?
This team runs a collective. We don't. Yeah. And this is college football now. So do you want us to compete or not?
Well, that's all he was really saying. Well, that's
the thing. Give us money because we got to keep up.
And Jimbo didn't deny it. He just said, I didn't break any rules. That's all.
Jimbo came off bad in this, in my opinion. Jimbo,
I agree.
Jimbo was fucking Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers. He was like, erroneous. Yeah. Like, we don't 17-year-old kids. This is what you're going to do. Me and him are done.
I think it's unacceptable. To me, it's unacceptable.
17-year-old kid.
Talk to a 17-year-old kid and their family and say they're breaking state laws. He didn't say that.
We didn't break no state laws in Texas. 17-year-old kids. That's what you're going to do? Me and him are done.
Listen. In my 40 years at A&M conference, I am 4 games over 500 in the SEC. And you guys want to sit up here and anoint him as some sort of college football czar? Like he's got, I guarantee you, check out what God did to have to get there. And I guarantee you, you won't exactly like it. It's like, oh, shut up, Jimbo.
Shut up. By the way, all he did was say he didn't break Texas state law. That's all he said.
And he did not.
And he also didn't say he didn't pay all those players. He also didn't say that.
What I didn't catch it the first time, but, you know, I heard the clip, you know, 3 or 4 times today. Yeah. And eventually noticed that when he's out there being loud and defiant and, hey, it's unacceptable. You come out from families. We didn't do anything wrong. And then he just slips in, but he catches himself. He goes, everything we did was done independent. And he's wrong. But he didn't finish the sentence. He caught himself. He's like, oh, shit. I'm admitting that we have a collective, which is legal. It's not even against the rules.
But he caught himself.
He's like, oh, man. And
plausible deniability, man. Don't say everything.
Like, none of us are, you know, Alabama fans or Nick Saban, you know, acolytes or anything like that. And Nick Saban probably should not have named the schools like he did.
He was doing what we do. He's going off the cuff, just saying shit.
Yes, and he could have just said, because I can't remember what coach it was, but I did hear last week someone mention about that Nico guy, the quarterback's going to Tennessee,
right?
Where everyone knows he's allegedly getting $8 million from the collective. But they just said that quarterback to that SEC team in Tennessee. That's all you have to say. You can just say that, you know, that team in college.
Or you could literally not name anybody. You got teams out there throwing $8 million at a guy.
Right. You throw out the dollar figure and everyone knows what you're talking
about. Everyone knows what you're talking about, but you didn't say it.
Like he was, I will say Saban was wrong in actually naming them.
Naming Deion too. He named Deion. Like by name, he said Deion's out here paying $1 million to a guy,
but he is.
Yes, he is. And
listen, I wish Oregon was way more egregious in just inducing players and buying high school players, because NIL, which I think we are all in favor of, right?
Of course,
it was not designed as an inducement, and the NCAA for their all their flaws and fluky and weak-wristed stuff, they have said NIL should not be an inducement. NIL is an inducement.
Of course it is.
Oregon does it too, I'm sure. Whatever. Oh, yeah.
I want to know how much they paid. I want to know how much they paid that Minnesota running back.
He got something. Out of nowhere.
He got something. What'd he get?
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Even if it's like a deal with fucking, you know, Pizza Pipeline. Like, I want to know it.
Like, I wish Oregon was just doing the shit where they're like, hey, here's 200 shares in Nike and $50,000. Like,
why not?
But the weird thing is, it seems like this is more of a generational thing. Because I bet if this was brought up with, like, Lincoln Riley or Lanning, they would have said, all right, yeah, we're paying kids. It's not illegal. So we're paying these kids.
It seems
like these old heads are the ones that are like, trying to think it's like college football still sacred, that, you know, these amateur athletes kind of shit.
That's college football sacred. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's
the I know old it's head the greatest kind of mentality. It's the greatest. Yeah. And you know, Saban does sound, you know, a little crotchety in the whole thing. But again, he's not wrong.
Do you remember our favorite hire? Our favorite hire Oregon made. Do you remember who it was?
Tosh?
Tosh the Poy, because that's Tosh? The best hire you've
No, it was Tosh, and then it was the fucking bag man. They hired the head of football operations? The fuck is that in a college football team? He's the fucking bag man. Remember what all the Florida State fans said? It wasn't Florida State. I forget. I just text. Was it A&M where he came from?
Yes. Malchoy?
Yeah, the bag man. They called him the bag man.
He's the bag man.
They're like, you guys are going to love him. Damn right. That's why he's here getting paid more. To do this.
Play
the game.
Do you guys not find it odd? I mean, you don't see younger coaches coming out and knocking NIL. Who do you see? You see Saban now. You see fucking Dabo crying every fucking week about it. It's all these fucking old guys, especially the good team. Like, they didn't need to pay players, Clemson and Bama. They're the ones that are upset now about this.
They're the most vocal ones. Dabo's up there being like, NIL, speaking of L, who's going to lead you to the Lord? it's just a different. We don't need. South Carolina's weird. Dabo's weird.
Listener couldn't see that. I was doing the jerk off motion.
Oh, I thought you were doing a Jeter fist bump. Because that was a big old dick you were jerking off. Jesus. I thought you were doing the Jeter fist bump. That was a monster cock you were jerking.
Thank you.
Ski? That was huge, man.
That was my entire screen.
Yeah, you had a wreck
top to bottom of my screen.
You had a wreck Bevo down in Texas. Mike the Tiger.
Clemson's on their way out, man. Like Dabo has fallen behind. Like I know he plays in a horrible football conference, so he's going to be all right, but Clemson, in terms of like the national picture, is out.
Yeah.
Out.
Hey, listen, Mario's going to win the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
77 runs out of the pistol at a time.
Yep. Okay, to the NBA, where there's been a whole bunch more blowouts.
No, fuck the playoffs. You got to talk about the Blazers, man.
Zerts. What do you want to
do?
Okay. I'll let you talk about the Zers.
Well, I mean, am I the only one who watched the draft lottery?
Man, if
I didn't watch it, no.
No, I didn't watch it. Absolutely not. I saw your guys' reaction to it though. if anything, is it not like it's, I think you mentioned poetry earlier. Like, isn't it poetic that the worst thing that could happen to the Blazers in this draft lottery did happen? I guess the worst thing that could have happened is like Dame trips and falls walking up the steps to his podium and like ruptures his Achilles or something. That's the worst case scenario, but getting the seventh pick.
The worst thing to happen is if they got the second pick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, the first. The
this
first.
Is such a weird. Why are Blazer fans doing this weird thing? Like, well, actually, it would have been worse if they had the number two pick.
Because they wouldn't have taken Banchero at two, is the problem.
Well, he's a number three pick.
Yeah, that's where they needed to get him because they would have been forced to take Big White.
No, they wouldn't have.
That.
No.
Big, skinny, white.
He went to the combine and weighed 193 pounds
as a 7-footer. Yikes.
That's why he's the second pick instead of the first pick.
Brittle. But like some Blazer fans are doing the thing like, well, I mean, it's actually a good thing they fell to number 7 because there's no certifiable number 1. And to that point,
many players I'd want.
But to that point, I go, did you see Damian Lillard's face on the podium and number 7 came up? And did you read the quote from Joe Cronin, the GM, who, I don't know, he could be the worst GM in the league. I don't know. But he called it a gut punch. So Blazer fans, That wasn't good. That's not why they tanked the team to go 2-24 to end the season to get the number 7 pick. That's not why they did that. And who knows? I mean the Warriors are built with guys that were drafted 8, 12, and 27. So hey, hold out hope, Blazers.
What pick was Dame again? He was later, right? He was like middle.
Number 6?
Was he?
I was going to say 6 or 8.
Yeah, okay. So he's around there, right? So you're going to get another Dame, right, Blizzard fan?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, another Dame.
Yes.
I mean, there's fine players after 3 still. But god, getting Jabari or Banchero, that was the goal.
That was
the goal of tanking, was to get them.
Yes. Lillard was the number 6 pick, by the way.
6? All right. But still, the goal was to get one of those 2 guys.
Yes.
And like I said, I was just worried if they were 2, they would draft Chet because they're fucking morons, and that's just what they would do. But we wanted the 3rd pick. We wanted
the 3rd pick.
That's what we wanted.
Yes. 100%. Number 3 is what they wanted. But
and like I said, there's I'm sure there's some finer. I don't know anyone else. I don't know who's outside the top 3 picks. Couldn't name one.
No,
kid out of USC, wasn't he good?
I don't think so. That was his brother who was good.
Was it his brother? Him?
Yeah.
Mobley? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone. College basketball has been over for a while now. Don't know anyone else. But unless they could find a way to, I've been trying to figure out if they could. I don't see a way how they could move up in the draft either. You don't see it like in NFL moving up in the draft as much. You see swapping picks. You see pick swaps, but you don't see trading picks like that inside the draft.
They're trading the number 7 pick to Detroit for Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not keeping the 7th pick. There's no point in having the 7th pick.
And Jeremy Grant, I mean, come on. It just doesn't. Yeah.
Whatever keeps Dame here next year, right?
No, Dame will finish out the year here next year. It is the 2023-24 season where he will be traded to a contender, and he will be either 33 or approaching 33 at that point. I think he'll be 33.
It's a good time for it.
And it'll be amicable, and we'll all accept it, and good for him. And I will probably buy his Miami Heat jersey or whatever it is. But the bad luck in the draft just kind of cemented that Lillard is only here for like another year plus.
But this had the potential to be set up. If they were 3, because I think they still will try to get Jeremy Grant. I think he's a great addition to the team.
Sure.
But just him alone, if it was him and Banchero together, I mean, come on. Now, now there is hope. There's a glimmer of hope for the future with that. Not trading away the 7th pick for just Jeremy Grant now.
Can you correct me if I'm wrong? They were supposed to get another pick if the Pelicans didn't make the playoffs, right?
Yes. So I think they would have. Well, would have been the number 7? I think it would have ended up being the 7 pick.
Yeah.
I think I could be wrong.
Do they? Is it one of those to where they still are owed
for the
this
eight
pick?
Number 8?
So it's going to be.
I'm sorry.
Are they still owed this pick? So it's like essentially next year's.
No.
No.
No,
it was a protected pick.
Yeah. It was a protected pick, and they threw in some trash. In like 4 years, they'll get the number 22 pick or something inconsequential.
No.
Hey, maybe you get lucky. But.
This has been the worst case scenario offseason for Portland. Like they needed the Pelicans to miss the playoffs. Pelicans barely got into the playoffs.
Thanks,
fucked them
Anthony
over with
Davis.
That. They get the worst fucking draft pick they can get.
I mean,
but the one pick they did get, it's amazing.
So I mentioned that amazing. On Twitter. I was like, oh my god, so Blazers, they got the worst possible pick they could get, because I was going by the odds.
Sure.
Someone was like,
well actually if you look at the numbers,
0.00009% chance to get the number 10 pick. I'm like, okay.
Cool, nerd.
Yeah, okay, they had a 3% chance to get the number one pick. You want to know what I didn't think they were ever going to get? The number one pick. Yeah. So I don't want to hear your fractional decimal number 10. Like, okay, NBA guy. What? Stop.
Yeah, thanks, really, thanks, Nate Silver.
Right.
But really, well,
technically.
I mean, is 7 any different than the 4th pick, really, if you're not getting Banchero?
I mean, probably not. It's all Jabari, so at that point. But we all wanted the number 3.
You could get more for it.
Well, they had the guy to get. Like I said, there could be some... I don't know these other players, honestly. There could be an absolute gem at 7.
Yeah, I saw that at number 7, they're projected to pick a guy from Duke who scored 10 points a game because he played like 6 games.
Yeah, awesome.
Hey, he was a freshman at Duke. I'm sure he's talented. Don't know his name, but not quite as exciting as his teammate that we all wanted.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Trade this pick if you can, then, I guess. Why the fuck not?
Okay, do you want to actually talk about the playoffs?
It's going
How about CP3 versus Pat Bev? Because that was fucking glorious, if you ask me. Because I hate fucking both of them, and they're both just getting trashed over the last week.
How about Dame and Pat? Dame's been going in on Pat.
Dame Bev. Going in on. So that was perfect, by the way, because Pat Bev saying just spitting facts about CP3. Like he called the fake injury before he did the fake injury. It's fucking beautiful. He's like, watch. He's going to walk off with a mystery injury before this game's over. And sure enough, walks off the court. They're down by 30, game's over. Walks off the court, says, oh, CP3's been playing the whole series with an injured quad. Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, he's playing with an injured quad. Uh-huh. Yeah, but Bushley, fuck Chris Paul forever. And then Pat Bev gets called out by Matt Barnes and Dame. Ugh, because fuck Pat Bev forever too, man. They're both garbage.
Was it them calling him out for Paul? Because I thought it was him saying Booker's not a superstar.
No. He called out Patrick Beverly for going after Paul.
For going after Paul? All right, yeah. Because his whole thing, a superstar doesn't score 5 points in a game 7 kind of thing. The knock at Booker. It's like, easy there, Pat. I think your career high is like 12 points, man. Let's take it easy here.
I mean,
he's not wrong. He's also not really good enough to do that.
But I don't like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I don't think Chris Paul is a great winner. I think he's an acerbic, he just drags his teammates down with his attitudes at a certain point.
He's a proven not winner.
But when Patrick Beverly calls him a cone on defense, and it takes me 7 seconds to realize on a Google search, he's a 7-time
All-NBA.
First-team All-NBA defensive player?
Yeah.
Okay, he's probably not a cone. And then when Pat Beverly doubles down and goes, well, when I cheap-shotted Chris Paul last year in the back when he wasn't looking, I mean, okay, way to go, Pat. No one was looking, and you pushed him down. Why didn't anyone retaliate? Want to know why no one on Phoenix retaliated, Pat, Bev? Because they were up 30 in a closeout game to go to the NBA Finals. You were on a loser team. Like, why didn't Devin Booker break his hand punching you in the face? Oh, I don't know. Because they had the NBA Finals to worry about. It just... and I love how ESPN ran him out for 4 straight days.
Oh,
and the first day was fire.
Yeah.
The second day,
it's like, okay.
Yesterday, people kind of forgot. Today, no one mentioned.
It was like he was making all these big statements about Chris Paul. Then it was him responding to Matt Barnes. Then it was him just making up whatever shit he could think of.
And what I loved is
you're out of gas, man. You ran out of gas 2 days ago.
It's the same thing where Jimbo Fisher today kind of worked in and then caught himself, where it was like, everything was done by independent, move on. And Pat Bev is like, oh, yeah, they did that against a play-in team. Hate Pat Bev. you were on a play-in team this year, and you hopped on the scoreboard, threw your jersey into the crowd like you won a title, cried on your way to the locker room, went to a knee crying before you went to the locker room in a play-in game. Like, the some of this stuff, it's like, okay, a little bit of self-awareness of just a little bit of self-awareness. Just a little. A little.
You tell me, you're telling me Pat Beverly.
If you want to talk shit to Chris Paul, that's fine. But when you start doing like, oh, they beat a play-in team. You were on a play-in team this year. And we all saw the footage. What are you talking about?
So you're telling me one of the biggest trolls in the history of the NBA is not self-aware? That's crazy.
I think some of the trolls in the NBA are self-aware.
No, no. Fuck Chris Paul.
Absolutely.
Fuck Pat Beverly. Matt Barnes.
I like Matt Barnes too.
I like JJ Redick too. I'm just saying. Fuck everybody involved. They're all stupid.
I just gotta say I like Matt Barnes who doesn't beat up my cousins.
I actually like Matt Barnes.
I do too.
I do too. But yeah. Is there anyone that's had a bigger career, like life and career turnaround than fucking JJ Redick?
Everyone,
when he was at Duke, everyone just despised him. And that rolled over into probably the first quarter to half of his NBA career.
Like 18 months ago, people were like, we're in the bubble. This guy voted for Trump, JJ Redick. And now they're like, what a brilliant mind. Because he said Bob Cousy couldn't guard LeBron James. Like, okay.
Bob Cousy is playing against plumbers.
What a bold statement, JJ Redick, and no one has ever said that before.
Truly enlightened.
Kevin Durant would score on John Havlicek. No way! What? Say what?
Get this guy on ESPN.
Yes, and you know, we're going back a couple weeks, but like the JJ Redick thing telling Mad Dog that he's racist. I was like, Mad Dog's old. Like he's just an old New Yorker. Of course he loves Bob Cousy. Like it just is what it is. He loves Earl too. And we don't care about Earl the Pearl Monroe.
I think every old white guy in this country, no matter how liberal they are, is a little bit racist.
Well,
it's ingrained. You know, it is what it is.
Hey, JJ, you're lucky that there weren't cell phones around when you were at Duke. I'm sure you dropped a few hard R's maybe back in the day.
You and Tyler Hansbrough aren't dropping any hard R's out there.
You at the Duke lacrosse party, frat parties.
R in Redick is really in bold.
That's a hard R.
So let's.
Oh, boy, Duke lacrosse parties.
Oh,
boy.
Let's not do
that's
that.
That's a flash.
Let's not do that.
We do not have to do that.
Because
who would have thought that
got proven? That got proven false. So let's not go there.
but who would have thought JJ Redick would have been anointed like the savior of black athletes?
Yeah.
I know. It's so good. It's so good.
Such a baby face turn here for Redick.
And all he said was that Kyrie Irving would score on someone from 1910. You want to know what? You're right.
Genius.
Shaq would dunk on James Naismith. You are right, JJ Redick. What a bold claim.
We totally glossed over the Rudy Gobert Shaq thing, didn't we? Remember when Gobert, was it Gobert who said it or somebody said it about Gobert?
Yeah. It was Gobert. He's not locking up Shaq.
He would lock up Shaq. That's right. Yeah. Ooh.
Did you see Shaq and Barkley yesterday on TNT?
I saw Barkley got booed or something. He was getting heckled by the Oakland fans or something.
Yes. And then he told the guy, if you don't stop talking, I'll go to your house and fuck your mom.
Barkley said that?
Yes, he did.
On TV,
those exact words. It was like a timeout, commercial timeout. He looked back at the fans and said it.
That's awesome.
But like, and no one, Kenny, EJ, they're all just like, he says that,
and Charles just says that stuff.
Like, I love because
did Ernie Johnson double down?
No,
he's like,
I would too.
Like, you know what? And I'll join him.
Bukkake.
Eiffel Tower.
What I love
or no. What do you call it here? The Bay Bridge.
Oh God, Jesus. What I love about that show is that it's the best pre and post game show in sports history.
Easily,
you know,
College Game Day is number two, but it's not even close. And I just love how Shaq doesn't really fit on that show because
he's horrible. He's a horrible TV person, but he's perfect for what that is.
But like, yeah. Last night he's sitting there and Shaq Charles is like, well, or I guess it was two nights ago. He's like, well, you know, Jimmy Butler probably doesn't score 41 points on 14 shots if Marcus Smart and Al Horford are playing, because Al Horford's a good switch defender, kind of, and Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year. Shaq's like, no, he still would have scored 42 because that's what great players do. You're not a great player, Charles. As to Kemi Mutombo, what I did to him. And Charles is just like, I'm just saying, if the defensive player of the year is playing, it's running a little harder. And Shaq's like, no, it's not. You're a loser. Reeves, you tell him. And Shaq and Charles is like, hey, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? What? I'm just saying.
How are you arguing with me about this?
Playing. Yeah. What are you doing?
That's what makes the show great, though, is the amount of fucks they don't give, you know? They troll each other the whole show. Fucking hilarious.
I just, the one thing about that show that I don't like is how thin-skinned Shaq is. How is Shaq so thin-skinned? He's probably worth $1 billion. He's on
got
every
a history
commercial.
Of it, though.
But for what? What, four rings? He's worth $1 billion. I mean, the guy sells you towels. Like, just, the guy whores himself out for money, and good for him.
He's 7'3", 350. Like,
well, that's his.
What are you afraid of?
That's the thing about Shaq on that show that drives me nuts. Is his analysis of every big man is, oh, you're not Shaq.
Yeah, well, I don't get it.
Why, you want to know why they're just
back him down and dunk over him?
You
want to
know why Rudy Gobert isn't Shaq? Because he's not Shaq. There's only one Shaq. You're 7'1", 350, and can dribble and run. There's a difference.
No one has been like you ever. That's the whole point.
Yeah, Gobert's biggest accomplishment is he gave everyone COVID. You're Shaq.
Yeah. I mean, that is a way he could take down sort of an older gentleman.
He can take Shaq down easily.
Let me tell you, Kenny, if I had if I had coronavirus first, I would have given it to everyone. Not just 90%.
I dunk all over COVID.
I would have given it. Yeah, I would have dunked on COVID.
COVID can never win a title without me. just like Kobe.
Speaking of lockdowns, that's me on defense. You don't know nothing about that, Chuck.
All right. Anything else before we get to our list?
Oh God, the list.
Oh, here's something. What? Here's something. I have one quick thing. It's just something I noticed this week, perusing social media. It wasn't Twitter because I think Mosley blocked me on Twitter.
No.
At Duck Football, I believe I'm blocked by Rob.
No,
Mosley.
You're not.
I am.
What did you say?
I don't remember. I honestly don't know. So if anybody wants to like reach out to him and say, hey, you should unblock him. He'll probably say no. He probably has a reason. I don't know. I don't know what it is. The at TSB Pod Twitter handle has been blocked by Rob Mosley.
That's probably me.
But I saw it. I saw it on Instagram. Like the only reason I ever see any former Oregon athlete transferring somewhere else is when Rob Mosley posts it. And it's like I sort of understand what he's doing. It's like, hey, we're happy for you. You're moving on. You're doing big things for yourself. That's great. But it's like he's employed by the athletic department. That's the only reason I find it weird. It's like I don't have a problem with like a Duck, you know, supporting somebody leaving the Ducks and going somewhere else. But it's like he literally gets paid by the athletic department to post stuff about the teams only. And so posting like Kylie Watson going to Notre Dame or whatever, and like a congratulations post about it is fucking weird, isn't it? Like, I don't know. Is it not weird? I might be out of line. Like he's the editor in chief of Go Ducks. Like his whole job is posting like promotional shit about the Ducks. That's it. So like, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I think.
Speaking of weird, I just did a Twitter search.
Are we all going to get blocked now? Everybody listening to this is going to get blocked by Rob Mosley.
Rob Mosley has unblocked me on the football account.
There you go.
I am still blocked on his all other sports account.
Nice.
Yeah. So Go Ducks, Mosley football, good to go. But okay. If I want a Quidditch update from Rob,
you're screwed.
Screwed.
I think we're backwards on that. So between us, we follow Rob Mosley on everything.
Yeah. So
between us,
you guys are good.
We're all good. Right,
sweet. So you, I'll give you those lacrosse scores and you give me all the Duck football practice reports. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Shall we do our list?
Scotty.
List?
What are you doing? What are you doing? What's happening? Scotty. What's happening?
Oh, talking to the kid.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to bring somebody over. Is he participating in your list because you didn't come up with anything?
No, he is not.
Okay. All right. Our list this week has to do with the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban thing. I came up with the idea. Initially, it was our favorite coaching matchups we'd like to see in a WWE fight, but it sort of changed to like a celebrity death match thing.
And let's get it out.
Get it out. Our favorite coaching matchups and celebrity death match. And it doesn't have to be same sport. Doesn't have to be like same league. Nothing. Just favorite all time matchups. Okay. Shall I start?
Sure.
I will
go for it.
My number three would be Phil Jackson versus Steve Kerr.
Boy, yoing.
The two like soft yoga coaches going at it in a celebrity death match would be hilarious to me. It'd be like a liberal off, you know? Like
Phil's gonna have that reach though.
Who can pray to Buddha the hardest?
Oh my gosh, so many pronouns will be dropped. They gotta edit. They gotta censor that.
They both have horrible backs. It would be perfect. Like one of them would take one punch and go down, and the other one would also go down because he threw the punch and threw his back out. Be perfect. I don't know. I just want to see it. Because you know one of them would probably get pissed off after getting hit, and then you just go crazy. Would that be like 90-year-old Phil Jackson or Steve Kerr while he's taking a hit from a bong going into the fight? All right, that's my three.
My number three, Mario Cristobal versus the Stony Brook coach, who I don't know.
The Seawolves?
Yeah, the Seawolves. They're from the Bronx, baby.
Throw out the records against the Seawolves. I'm Googling this, records. By the way. I'm helping you out.
But you guys remember when he went out there and was talking shit to the coach and being like, no, really? So I think it was like Deontay Thornton got hit in the face mask in the end when they were somehow only up by like 9 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, God.
A week after winning in Columbus. And it's 16-24 against Stony Brook in the fourth. God. I will not miss Mario. Those Mario.
No.
Games.
No.
His name is Chuck Priori.
Oh, the Priori.
Sure. Sure. All right, Ski.
All right. My number three is just a battle of two guys that I think a lot of people just want to punch in the face, and that's Brian Kelly versus Dabo.
Ooh, that'd be good.
I think everyone doesn't matter who wins as long as they both just get fucking mangled.
Everybody wins.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that too. All right, my number two is Tommy Lasorda against Andy Reid.
Oh,
so I'm going with the guts. Because I want to. I don't think they'd actually be able to. I don't think they'd be able to hit each other because they'd be their guts would be like hitting each other the whole fight. I don't think their arms would actually reach.
My number one is Andy Reid versus Mark Mangino, and it's it was more of just like an endurance contest to see who doesn't drop dead first.
Yeah. Who was it, Lasorda? Was it Pedro? Was he the one who tried to fight Pedro?
No, that was
Don Zimmer.
Yeah,
Don Zimmer. There you go. You know what? My number two should have been Zimmer against Lasorda, because they're like the exact same body type, I'm pretty sure.
Zimmer's a firecracker.
Yeah, because Andy Lasorda, he's like big, right? Isn't he like 6'5 or something?
Yeah, he's pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm changing it to Zimmer versus Lasorda. There we go. That's my number two.
Lasorda would be all fucking boozed up when he's fighting.
I'm saying
on Slim Fast,
drunken fist style.
What did Zimmer even do? Like, what was his function as a coach?
I think he was the bench coach.
Bench coach. Yeah, he was bench coach. Yeah.
What does a bench coach do?
And then they exiled him to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Bench coach is just like a rah-rah guy that keeps everyone like
sit there and chew. And
come, babe.
Yeah.
Hey, see ball. Hey, you got it too. You got it too. Next time.
Let's go, double six. Here we go.
All you got to do. Silent hands, quiet feet. You know, let's go.
Here we go, Jeets. Here we go. Get him, Jeets.
Yeah, right. If your coach is, and if your manager's like chirping at the ump for balls and strikes, you kind of go dive on the grenade and
you take
get
it.
Ejected instead.
Yeah, you get ejected instead of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Stepping in front of the manager.
A great fucking gig. Probably one of the best gigs you could have.
Totally. It's like third string quarterback.
You have no responsibilities.
Yeah.
All you got to do is
wear a baseball uniform and get paid thousands of
Joke
dollars.
Joke and poke.
There you go. Here you go, boy.
Hey, here we go.
Here we go.
What do you say?
That's it. And chew seeds.
My number two, Ernie Kent versus Lute Olson.
Ooh, that's good.
It was very spicy. That was a spicy little rivalry. I mean, I love how eventually, like, you know, in the last 5 years of Lute Olson's career, they put tape down that said coaches have to stay in this box. And he walked all the way over to Ernie Kent's bench every single time at Matt Court. And they never called the technical on him once.
Nope.
And Ernie would be sitting there being like, Ernie would sit there going, he's sitting next to Malik Hairston on my bench. Call a technical on Lute Olson. Like, we don't see it.
I remember that now. Like, fans used to boo him for it too. They would call it out to the officials.
And he did it on purpose at a certain point.
He's too big to get the T for it. You hate to see it. Is it me?
He's dead.
Yeah, because my two, I guess, was Mangino. Okay.
All right, my number one is Lou Piniella against Bob Knight. That would actually be a death match. Somebody would actually die in that one. Either by way of heart attack or being beat to death with something.
I think I might give the slight edge to Lou.
Like, you're thinking, well, I mean, Bob Knight was like actually in the army, wasn't he? I don't know about Piniella. But Piniella, when he'd go crazy, it's pretty next level.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a good fight. Maybe not now. Are they both dead? I have no idea.
They're both alive, I think.
Yes. Okay, good for them.
Yes. They're both very much alive.
All right, so like a 90-year-old fighting a 90-year-old.
Yeah. Lou's right, probably late 70s.
Take your blood pressure medication. Get at it, boys.
Take that Crestor.
That's my. You're right. That is my one.
My number one coach fight is Mario Cristobal versus open offense
versus the spread.
Wait, no. I didn't read that right. I didn't read it. Mario Cristobal versus good quarterback play.
Almost.
No, I didn't read that.
I don't think that's right. Yeah.
Mario Cristobal versus vertical passing game? Are these coaches?
Is that it?
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I thought
did
it
someone
was,
bunk me?
Was it not Mario Cristobal versus Time Management?
Yeah, Mario. No? Time out. Okay, time
out. Time out. That was
time out.
That was it. Okay. You're just misreading it.
Casual Cristobal. Mario Cristobal. I wouldn't want to fight Utah. I figured that out. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you guys think he wins a conference title in 5 years?
Yes.
Sure.
Because it's that.
Just because the conference is that much of a joke.
Yeah, the ACC is awful.
Yes.
Pitt won it last year.
Of course.
I mean, they did have the Blitnikoff winner. So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I still don't remember their coach's name.
It's not Paul Christ. It's Pat Narduzzi.
No, is it Nard? It was Narduzzi.
Yeah, it's old Nards. It's the Nard dog.
Good old Nards.
Hail to Pitt.
All right. What's your one?
So my number one is going to be Lincoln Riley versus Lane Kiffin. Because Kiffin's got to be so jealous right now of Riley. Because this was supposed to be this was him, right?
Matching up on a tarmac. I want to see it.
I mean, this was Kiffin when he came in. The hype for USC, the young coach, the offensive guy, and you had a feeling Lincoln Riley's going to do better than Lane Kiffin did.
Kiffin he almost has. Kiffin coming into Autzen and beating Oregon in 2011 still really sticks in my craw. Mm. It's not one of those Stanford losses, or but it just, oh my god, they were up like by 30 at halftime and they almost lost. Ah, and he wore a white beanie and everyone would call him the beanie.